Here's a question I want you to sit with for a second. If the executive who sponsors your resilience program walked out the door tomorrow, would your program survive? Not the binders, not the plans on the shelf or on SharePoint, your program. Would it still have a seat at the table 90 days from now? Or would it quietly turn into someone's part-time problem? I've been chewing on that problem a lot lately, and it's the whole lesson for today's podcast. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath, and this is the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. Today, I want to talk about something that I have seen play out over and over in my 12 years of running BrightPath, and it is the difference between resilience programs that are genuinely built into the business and led by a champion that understands that, and programs that are not. Same discipline, same standards, same job title even, wildly different outcomes. The strange part is that the dividing line is almost never about the quality of the program and the plans and the BIAs. It's something else entirely. What got me thinking about this was a leadership change at an organization that I know well. I'm going to keep this anonymous, of course, because the specifics don't matter, but this pattern is everywhere. New executive comes in over a resilience function, and in that moment, everything about the program is suddenly up for reevaluation. And think about what the new leader actually sees. They have no history, they have no prior context, they didn't sit through exercises, they haven't read the plans, they're just walking in for the first time. They didn't see the program prove its worth during the last bad day that the company had. All they see is what's in front of them, a budget line, headcount, activities that they have to decide whether or not are worth it. worth keep paying for. And this is what I realized as I watched this. That moment, that leadership transition, is the single most honest test that a resilience program can ever face. You can fake a lot of other things. You can have impressive looking plans. You can hit your exercise schedule. You can pass the audit. You can make your targeted goals for the year. But none of that tells you whether the program will survive as a new person comes in asking in plain language, why do we do this and what does it get us? So let's talk about what separates programs that pass the test from the ones that don't. And there are two things, and I think they compound on each other. The first is business alignment. And I know we've talked about this before, but is the program tied to what the business actually cares about? The revenue that it protects, the customer commitments that it keeps, the regulatory obligations that it satisfies, the real operational risk that it takes off the table? Or is it running in a parallel universe, measured in plans completed and exercise run, disconnected from anything the business would notice if it disappeared? The second is the champion. Is there a leader who understands the program, who advocates for it, and connects it to the business in the language that executives actually speak? Or is it being run by someone who is heads down in the mechanics, doing generally good work, but invisible to the people who decide what gets funded? Here's the trap. Most people assume the champion is the chain is the thing that keeps the program safe. A strong, well-connected sponsor who fights for the budget every year. And in the short run, that is true. But I would make the opposite argument, and that is the champion is the more fragile of the two. A program that is propped up by a great champion but not aligned to the business is in a lot more danger than it looks because it's not aligned to the business. Put those two variables together and you wind up with four kinds of programs. Stick with me. This is worth the 30-second explanation. No alignment, no champion, it's compliance theater. Plans that nobody reads, that don't work, that are kept alive because a standard says you have to have them. That's the first thing that gets cut in any budget squeeze, and no one's going to fight for it. And we've all seen that. No alignment, but a strong champion? This is a dangerous place to be. And I'm going to come back to this because it will look like success. It's the program that runs entirely on one person's force of will. Strong alignment, but no champion. Well, the program does real work, and it reduces real risk. But no one is telling the story upstairs. It survives, but it's underfunded, and it never gets the influence that it has earned. It's leaving value on the table. And then there's the one that you want. Strong alignment, and a champion that gets it. That program is embedded, it's durable, and it's treated like a leadership function instead of a cost center. That's the goal. Let's go back to that dangerous quadrant because it's the one that fools a lot of people. I call it the personality program. It runs on one person's force of will. They have the relationships and they tell the story. They get the budget renewed every year because people trust them. And it works beautifully, right up until it doesn't. Because that person is mobile, they get promoted, they leave, they retire. A reorg drops a new leader on top of them. And when they go, they take the entire business case for the program with them. Because that business case was in their head and their relationships and their personality. It never actually lived in the business. So the new leader inherits a set of directives, a set of activities with no obvious connection to anything that they're measured on. And they do exactly what you or I would do. They start asking why. And no one can answer in terms that they care about. The answers come back as, well, we've always done this, or it's the best practice, or the standard requires it. None of that survives contact with a budget review. And that's the irony I keep coming back to. A resilience program whose purpose is to make the organization durable against disruption can't survive the disruption of its own sponsor changing. That is not a resilient program. It's like the cobbler's children having no shoes. Now flip this around. The program that's genuinely aligned to the business survives the exact same transition, and it survives without drama. Why? Because the value doesn't live in one person's relationships. It lives in the operating model. The new leader shows up and the program is not a mystery. It's connected to the revenue the company can't afford to lose. It's tied to the customer commitments that are written in the contracts. It's part of how the company satisfies its regulators. It shows up in how the decisions actually get made, not in a binder on a shelf. When that new executive says, "Why do we do this?" Well, the answer is already obvious, because the program has made itself obvious long before leadership ever changed. And here's the thing about the champion that understood that. They didn't just advocate for the program. They spent their influence embedding it so it wouldn't need them to advocate forever. That's the real difference between a champion that gets it and one who doesn't. And the one who gets it is quietly working to make themselves entirely unnecessary. So let me get specific, because embedded in the business can sound like a platitude if I just leave that there. The champion who gets this does a few things differently. They measure the program in business terms, not activity terms. Not, we completed 12 exercises this year. Instead, they say, we cut recovery time for the order management system from 3 days to 4 hours, and a 3-day outage would have cost us this much. One of those is a number a CFO can act on, and the other is just noise. Champions build a coalition, not a fan club. The program has stakeholders across the business who would generally feel that loss if it went away, because it's solving their problems, not just satisfying a corporate mandate. So when budget season comes, the champion's not the only voice in the room defending it. That they put the why in writing, in the language of the business, and they keep it current. So when the new leader shows up, here's a one-page answer to why we do this that a non-expert can read and immediately get. And they wire resilience into governance and in how the decisions get made. So it's not a separate compliance track running alongside the business. It becomes part of how the business runs. You can't cut it without cutting into the business itself, and everyone can see that. So this is what I want you to take away from this. Go back to the question that I opened with. If your sponsor left tomorrow, would the program survive? If your honest answer is only because of them, then you don't really have a resilience program. You have a personality program, and you're one org chart away from having to start over. The fix is not to go find a better champion. The fix is to take whatever influence your current champion has, and while you have it, spend it on making the business survivable without them by tying it to the business. Measure your program in business terms. Build the coalition. Write down the why. Get into the governance. A good champion gets you started. Business alignment is what will keep you alive. And the best champions that I've worked with understand that their actual job is to make themselves replaceable, because a program that depends on one person is not resilient, no matter how good that one person is. That's the episode. And you're sitting here right now realizing your program might just lean a little too hard into one person's relationships. And I want to be clear, that's not a failure. It's a finding. It might be the most useful thing you can know today, because you can actually do something about it while your champion still sits in that chair. That's exactly how we help organizations build a bright path. Not a binder, not a plan, but a resilience operating model that outlasts any one leader. If you want to talk more about that, give us a call. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.